Is everybody doing good tonight?
Amen.
Everybody's blessed? Amen. And healed?
Yeah.
Sanctified, set aside for the use of the gospel? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, tonight I want to talk a little bit about running your race. Running your race to the finish line. Amen. You know, we all have a purpose in life. I mean, but have you ever stopped and thought, well, what is my purpose? What am I doing? You know, what does God have for me to do, right? I mean, that's a big question that I think a lot of people have. You know, when I graduated from high school before I went to college, it's like, you know, I guess my mom would say that I had my bags packed, ready to go. You know, God, what do you want me to do? You know, where do you want me to go? You know, do you want me to go to Bible school? What do you want me to do? And anyway, so we all have a calling and a race to run. And I believe, you know, that calling, you know, God's given that calling to us from the very beginning. Amen. From the very beginning of time, He's given each and every one of us a calling. You know, that calling may be an executive or own your own construction company to finance the gospel. That calling may be to be a housewife and a mother to raise up godly children, right? The calling may be to exhort and encourage the body. You know, another calling may be to be a full-time, fivefold ministry, you know, in the ministry. So, you know, whatever that calling may be, I think it comes to each and every one of us. I want to read Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. And you should have it up there, Steve. Hey, there we go. New King James Version says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sins which so easily ensnare us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Okay? So right there at the end of verse 1, we see there is a race that has been set before us, right? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, okay, get this, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, we do have a race, and you know, you've seen these marathons, right, where everybody's out there running, and along the way, several people quit, give up, right? You know, it's the same thing with our race with the Lord. You know, we can give up. We can be short-sighted, or we can get discouraged. You know, we may, oh, gee, it doesn't look like anything's happening or whatever, you know. So we get short-sighted. But look here at Jesus, for the joy set before him endured the cross. So we see here, Jesus finished his race. He sat down at the Father's right hand, right? So Jesus finished his race. You know, we see that Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7 that he finished his race. So, you know, if these people can do it, well, you know, okay, if Jesus did it, all right, Jesus is Jesus. But, you know, if Paul can do it, you know, we can do it, right? We can finish the race that God has for us. And, you know, a lot of times, and I still struggle sometimes, well, what is that race that God has given me to do? That's something that's always been surrounding, you know, I'm struggling with, you know, and I'm believing God for it. And I believe that as I walk close with Him, the Spirit of God will reveal that race to me. It becomes clearer and clearer every day. You know, one thing I really want to point out is in verse 2 for Jesus, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. You know, Jesus suffered many terrible things from the hands of the Romans, right? During the crucifixion, the whipping and everything else. You know, he knew that what was coming upon him, what he was going to have to face. But what did he do? He looked through that and he saw us today in Christ Jesus. He saw us in right standing with the Father, right? That was the joy that he had that he was looking forward towards, right? So this is a key for us. You know, we may not know what our race may be, but again, if we're thinking, you know, perhaps we may have somewhat of a race. You know, I believe that I'm going to be in the ministry at some point in time, okay? How do I get there? I don't know. But God will make it happen. So I'm persevering to make that happen, right? I don't know the full details, but I'm running towards the prize. You know, and thinking about Jesus, you know, all he had to do is just open his mouth. You know, he could have been delivered very easily. You know, what did he say? How many legions of angels were standing at his beck and call? You know, I can see, you know, I bet half the angels there had their swords drawn and ready to go, you know, and the other half were probably, okay, hold on. No orders have been given, you know, holding them back. Because, you know, keep in mind, you know, Jesus is the angels' Lord and Master too. You know, I'm sure they have a love for the Lord. Have you ever thought about that? You know, so I'm sure the angels did not want to see Jesus go through what he went through. But that was the plan that God had. Anyway, the point is that Jesus ran his race to the finish line, the redemption of humanity. You know, I believe that, again, in each and every one of us is embedded in our spirit that plan that God has for each and every one of us, whatever that plan may be. You know, whatever that calling may be, whatever that purpose may be, it's within us. And, you know, as we spend time with the Father, he will reveal that plan and purpose to us, right? Notice in verse 1 of Hebrews 12, 1. This is interesting. Have you ever thought about this, that there's a cloud of witness around us? You ever thought about that? Since we are surrounded by so great of a cloud of witness, well, that's the church of the firstborn. Who is that? Those are the saints that have gone before us, right, in Christ Jesus. And what are they witnesses? Are they witnesses of what? They're witnesses of us, right? That's what it says. Yeah. So they're watching us run our race. Have you ever thought about that? They're, you know, praying for us. They're for us, trying, you know, I'm sure they're up there praying because they're a praying church. You know, before they left earth, they're praying, and I'm sure they're still praying for us, right? So, you know, in Hebrews 12, 22, it talks about the church of the firstborn. You know, they see only after the Spirit. You know, they're not of the flesh, right? So they're watching us, the spiritual decisions that we make, you know, in terms of being born again, deciding to walk, be led by the Spirit in certain areas, walking out your plan and purpose that God has given you in the Spirit. So these types of things, they're up there watching us, and they're giving us, praying for us and helping us and pulling for us. Amen. But again, what are we talking about? I'm talking about the race, running our race, the fulfilling of God's plan for our life. You know, and have you ever stopped and thought about when that plan and purpose was ever embedded into your spirit? You know, it's there, but it's something, you know, we need to be able to pull that out. And I think as we may have glimpses of what we need to do, you know, what that plan is, and as we walk with the Father and walk in the Spirit, he'll lead us into that area of what we're supposed to be doing. And as we find that spot, what we're doing, or that calling, you know, it's a fulfillment on the inside of us. You know, if you're working a job that you're not fitted for, you know, you're not happy with it, you know, what's going on, God? You know, okay, maybe this isn't my calling, but on the other hand, it may be training in preparation for the calling. So, you know, we need to pay attention to the Spirit. for that. 2 Timothy 1:8 through 10. I want to read that real quick. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, nor of me, his prisoner. Now, this is Paul talking to Timothy. But share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and, what's this, called us to a holy calling. Okay, there it is. He saved us to a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose, his own purpose and grace, which is given to us in Christ Jesus. What's that next phrase there? Before time began. You know, going through the scriptures, there's a lot of scriptures, you know, that deal with being predestined, or he foreknew us. Anyway, that's quite interesting. But in verse 10, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. Again, in verse 9, we see that the calling, there's a calling upon us. You know, I guess for some of you scholars out there, have you ever thought about, you know, that calling being planted in your spirit? Okay, I guess the next question is, okay, when did your spirit get that calling imparted into it? What was that? When he created us. Well, but when did he create us? Was it when? What's that? Well, it'd be before the foundation of the world, okay? Or was that at the time when God created, you know, that life on the inside of a mother's womb? Sure. You know, at some point, we don't know. But, you know, I'm kind of leading you on here, but I kind of think it was also what you'd said, Kathy, from the beginning of time. You know, God created us, the spirit man of us, okay? Now, I'm not going to make a doctrine of this, but I know there's some scriptures here, and I'll talk about them here real briefly. But, you know, we're talking about God creating us at the beginning of creation, and we existed before we became born into this earth, and God created a body for each and every one of us and put that spirit man in that fetus, in the mother's womb at some point in time. But in Jeremiah 1, 4 through 5, it says, then the word of God came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Well, here we see that Jeremiah was called, and he was sanctified before he was even born, before he was even in the womb. So, you know, we have a calling. You know, just like Jeremiah here, God has given each and every one of us a calling and a purpose. You know, but, you know, what has happened? Okay, we're born into this earth. We're born into a body that is led by the flesh, right? So, what the plan of the Spirit is, it's thwarted because the flesh, you know, we're all grown up, you know, as a child, you know, you're being led by your flesh, and you know, what are we supposed to do as Christians? We're supposed to renew our mind and control our flesh, right? But as we grow up, you know, our spirit man is entangled or in prison, I guess what I'm saying, in our being, and it's not allowing, we're not letting it rule us. We're not letting him lead us and guide us, you know, because the Holy Spirit leads us through our spirit. Okay, that's where the Holy Spirit is. He indwells us, our spirit, and you know, our spirit communicates with our mind. So, anyway, another scripture that's a good example of this is in Job 38, 1 through 21. Job 38, 1 through 21. Anyway, in Job, you remember the story of Job, right? The first 37 chapters of Job is woe is me, you know, look what's happening, you know, and his two friends come along, they're talking and, you know, whatever. But in chapter 38, God starts to talk. And I'll just read the first few scriptures, first few verses of 38, and then what I really want to kind of center up on is 18 through 21. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this who darkens the counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding. Who determines its measurements? Surely you know." Now pay real close attention. "Surely you know. Or who stretched out the line upon it? To what was the foundation fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." I'm skipping to verse 18, and it says, "Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know this, all this." Verse 19, There is a way to the dwelling of light, and darkness, where is its place, that you may take it to the territories, that you may know the path to its home." Okay, do you know because you were born then, or because the number of your days was great? Well, a couple places there, you know, again, going back to verse 5, "Surely you know," okay, and then God says, "Tell me if you know this at all." And then the last there is, "Because you know you were born then." Well, you know, I mean, reading this, you know, you could take, well, God's being sarcastic about, you know, Job, okay? But is that really the nature of God, to be sarcastic? Not really. So, you know, this possibly is another case where God is talking to Job that, you know, he existed when God did all this. But, you know, because of natural flesh and fallen man, he doesn't recall it, because his spirit man is entombed. But anyway, as I say, I'm not going to create any kind of doctrine of this, but anyway, I just found that quite interesting that, you know, with that thought, you know, I'm up in heaven and say, God, send me. Well, God says, okay, I'm going to send you at this point in time. I'm going to send you to this family, and oh, here, take this. This is your mandate. This is what you need to do. This is my plan for you. Okay, take this with you. And you know, I can see that you know, as we come into this earth, we have that mandate on the inside, but we've got to walk it out. We got to rediscover it, but it's there. I guess that's all I'm saying. And if God's giving you a mandate, He's giving you a calling. He's given you means to fulfill that calling, okay? So you have all the tools that you need to do what God has called you to do. Amen? Well, again, whether or not God has called us or put a purpose in our spirits before the beginning of time, I guess that's not really, it's immaterial. But the point is that we have a race to run. Amen? We have a race to run that God has placed before us, and we've got to stay on that race until we fulfill the calling that God has placed. And, you know, we won't, you know, have... Right now, we may not have full revelation of what that calling is, but as we spend time with the Father, that will come. Now, let's talk about how to run that race. Again, I made comment that we can fall out of the race. You know, we can stop, and we may not complete our race or what God would have us to do. And we don't want to do that, right? You know, for me, I would like to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of my time, or when I see Him, I want Him to say, what? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen? I think that's what all of us want to hear from Him. Amen? So for us to do that, we've got to stay on our race. We've got to continue. We've got to focus. We've got to look, press forward, look to the joy that is beyond the hardship right now. So walking in your calling may require preparation. Oh, we don't like that, do we? We don't want to go to school. We don't want to pay the price sometimes for preparation. What is that preparation? That preparation may require us to die to some of our desires, right? It may require us to go through some training, which it does. You know, sometimes, you know, we may work a secular job and, Jesus, get me out of here. You know, this sucks. You know, I don't like it. I've been there a lot of times. And it's like, okay, what am I learning? What am I growing because of this? How can I use this? You know, God is perhaps preparing me for something down the road. Amen? So we've got to keep on going. We've got to keep on our race. We can't fall to the side. You know, the other thing is, if you don't prepare yourself, you may miss the next step that God has for you. You know, there might be a door opening that He wants you to go through, but because you haven't completed the first step, you're not prepared for the second step, okay? Or the third step or whatever. So, again, you know, keep in mind that there's a race that we're running and we've got to prepare ourselves, amen, for what that plan is. You know, some of us may know what that plan is, and some of us, let's say, may be struggling, kind of like me, trying to find how to get to that plan or how to get that plan into motion. You know, the other thing is, a lot of times, for most of us, it's not like we open the door and you step into your plan, okay, going through a door. You know, your plan is being revealed perhaps a little at a time, day by day, by your obedience and being faithful to the Lord, walking by faith and the experiences that you develop, that you grow in and develop. Amen? So again, you know, you need to keep moving forward towards God's destiny. You know, you've got to maintain a consistent attitude of consecration and dedication and surrendering to the Lord's will. It's very important that you are willing to do anything that God tells you to do. Unwillingness, you know, to obey God will hinder your ability to walk in the plan that God has for you in fulfilling your plan for your life. So I think one of the greatest keys is, again, consecrating yourself and surrendering yourself to His plan. You know, there might be a lot of things that, man, I really wanted to do this, but or that or whatever, but hey, this isn't God's plan. This isn't God's purpose for me. And I have a decision to make. Do I want my plan? Do I want to walk my path? Or do I want to walk the path that God has pre-programmed me to do? Because the other thing is, if you walk your path, you're never going to be content. You're never going to be satisfied. Because in your spirit man, he knows what that plan is. And if you're not walking in that plan, that satisfaction is not going to be there. You know? The other thing is, a lot of times we pray, you know, oh God, I surrender to You. You know, and you're sincere in that. But the next morning you wake up, oh man, God, You want me to do that? Really? You know, and the other thing, if you don't totally surrender to God, you know, the temptations that the enemy is going to throw up your way, what's going to happen? They're going to run you off the rail, right? You're going to, oh, it's so easy to step right over here and start going away from the direction that God would have me to go. That's right. So, you know, it's another thing that we need to be earnest in our surrendering to the Spirit of God. You know, just don't give Him lip service, but with your whole heart and follow through. And, you know, that's, thank God that He's faithful and just, because, you know, I've blown it a lot of times myself, you know, but He's still faithful and just and true there. He's there. He's there. Come on, we can do this. You can do this. You know, He's always there beckoning, come on, encouraging you, right? And He's there forgiving us because, yeah, oh, that candy apple looked pretty nice and you went over and picked it. Well, it wasn't what you're supposed to be picking, you know? So, anyway, and the other thing, the devil will throw those temptations in there, and if your heart isn't set firm on following after the Father and after your plan and purpose and surrendering to Him, you're going to follow those desires of your body, of your mind, of your soul. So I guess the question is, are you at a crossroads today? Are you at a crossroads of making a decision? A decision to take the high road or the low road? You know, the high road being following after what the Father would have you to do. You know, the thing is, keep in mind, the end result is if you take the high road, your soul's going to be satisfied. You're going to be content in working the plan that God has for you. And there'll be blessings in that. Amen? Okay, well, how do we find the plan and purpose of God? Well, you know, it's very important to wait upon the Lord, to pray. And what do? We pray in the Spirit, right? 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Well, those mysteries, you're praying out plans and purposes that God has for you. And the other thing is, when you're praying in the Spirit, you're exercising your spirit man. You're bringing attention to Him. You're giving Him place in your life. You know, so again, when we pray, we're praying mysteries and God's purpose and plan for our lives, not only for our lives, perhaps for our children, for our spouse, for our country. You know, there's, you know, where we are at today is really a function of your prayers, the prayers of your parents, the prayers of your friends for you and towards you. And, you know, whether they're good or bad, they're, for the most part, a result of the prayers that have gone before you, you know, in the tongues or by the Spirit or by, you know, through your parents or you're praying for yourself. So one of the things, again, you know, it's so important to pray in tongues, pray in the Spirit, in an unction. Many times, you know, when you're endeavoring to follow after the Spirit of God, trying to find the plan or purpose for your life, the Holy Spirit will give you an unction. He'll give you a nudge and to pray. And you'll pray, you know, and you need to learn to follow that unction. You need to learn to follow that nudging. Because, you know, He'll nudge you to pray in a certain, you know, just, and you might not know exactly what you're praying, which that may be the case. But on the other hand, you may know that you're somewhat praying about the plan and purpose that God has for you. But the thing is, if you ignore that prompting of the Spirit of God, and if you continue to do that very much, you'll grieve the Holy Spirit and He'll stop nudging you. And you won't be sensitive to His prompting and His leading. So, you know, this all really comes back to learning how to be led by the Holy Spirit. You know, and, you know, what we had talked about, you know, last time I ministered, I talked about being led by the Spirit. I just keep on coming back to this same theme here. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Here again, we see spirit, soul, and body. So there's three parts. Here again, we're just talking about the three parts of man. Now, when we're born again, what part is born again? Our spirit man, right? So what about our soul, our mind, our will, and emotions? That's your soul. What about your body? When you're born again, they're the same, right? And so what do we have to do? We have to transform. That's right. We have to transform our thinking. Again, you know, the Holy Spirit, He's in our spirit, and He communes with our spirit, okay? So if our spirit communicates with our mind, what happens if our mind's not renewed? It's not gonna register on our mind, right? Okay? So that's the reason why it's so important to renew our mind, right? And spend time in the Word. Spend time reading the Word. And the other thing, you know, of course, if your body ruled, you're a carnal Christian, right? You know, we read in some of the letters that Paul talking about carnal Christians, he called them carnal, immature, or baby Christians. So we need to let our spirit man keep our body under. So, you know, if we don't renew our mind, okay, so you've got your spirit man, which is born after God. He wants to do good. He wants to do what God wants you to do. Your mind, well, if it's not renewed, and your body, obviously, it's corrupt. So your mind's going to side with your body. And, okay, forget what the spirit wants. But if you renew your mind, what happens? Your mind hooks up with your spirit. He kind of comes over to the other side. The spirit and your mind are over here, and over here is your body. Well, okay, you have a lot better result walking in the Spirit, walking under the in the path of God when your mind is renewed, right? So let's look at Romans 12, 1 through 2. Romans 12, 1 through 2. "Therefore, I urge you, brethren and sister, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." What's that say? This is whose? It's our responsibility. God's not going to wave a magic wand over us and poof, okay, you know, our mind is renewed. Our body wants to do what's right. No, you've got to renew your mind, and you got to take your body by the back of the neck and say, this is what you're going to do. That's what you got to do. I mean, let's go on. This is your this is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Okay, so getting back to walking out our plans, God's plan for us, our calling. Okay, we've got to renew our mind. It says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Well, again, if you're going to follow the dictates of the flesh, what are you doing? You're following the patterns of the world. Amen? So, if your mind isn't renewed, your mind will side with your body. And your spirit won't have a chance. So again, it's our responsibility to renew our mind. It's our responsibility to do something with our being. Amen? Now, the Holy Spirit will help us to do something with our mind, with our bodies, but it's not God. He's not going to do anything with them for us. So keep that in mind. The other thing that we need to do is we need to think that, keep in mind that we are what? A spirit being, right? We need to keep that in mind. You know, again, because when we're making decisions, we look on the inside, okay, this is what we need to do. This is the Word of God, amen? So keys to walking in the Spirit, again. One is being sensitive, knowing that it is Jesus speaking through the Holy Spirit. You can reference John 16:13. Comes by regularly feeding on the Word. Okay, so sensitivity comes by reading the Word, spending time in the Word, living right or holy, living a holy life, putting away, you know, the dictates of the flesh, right? What we talked about. Following your leadership. So each of us has someone that we're under, you know, and children are under parents, right? And parents are under leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're under the authority of the pastor, typically. At work, you're under, you know, your leadership. So you need to follow to do what they've asked you to do. You need to respect your leaders. You know, so you need to respect those that are in authority above you, right? You know, again, if you override your spirit, you'll dull yourself and become insensitive. So, and the other thing is, when your spirit is weak, you will not be able to be aware of your spirit. So you need to build up your spirit by spending time in the Word. You know, then the other thing is working your spirit. How do you work your spirit? By praying in tongues. It's a good exercise. Another key to walking in the Spirit is by activating your faith. Okay? Unbelief and fear will hinder you from being led by the Spirit. But keep in mind, unbelief and fear, they're opposite of faith, right? So if we're expecting to be led by the Spirit of God, and we're confessing that He's leading us, the Spirit of God is leading us and guiding us, what are we doing? We're activating our faith, right? Okay? Access what He is trying to give you by faith. You know, believe that you can hear from Him. You know, the Holy Spirit's, He's there to help us. He's there, you know, He's there to guide us in life. He's there to give us direction. He wants to help us make decisions that will prosper us and give us good success. But a lot of times, we're just not there pulling it in, you know. You know, Jesus sent Him to be our helper. He wants to be our helper, but we're the ones typically standing in the way. You know, God cannot legally lead or guide me if I'm yielding to unbelief. So what are you working in? What are you believing? Are you walking in unbelief? If you're walking in unbelief, it's going to be real difficult to hear what God's trying to direct you. Amen? Okay, another one is obedience and godliness. The key to following the Holy Spirit is following the peace that's on the inside of you, right? Follow peace, Hebrews 12:14 says. Following holiness by being Christ-like. You know, again, going back to renewing your mind. Amen. Now, the key to holiness is obedience. Okay? So if we're always doing what Jesus asked us to do, whether it's through the Word, okay, or if we have a witness on the inside of us, we're being led by the Spirit of God, and He's going to lead us in a holy life, right? Mm-hmm. The key to staying sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit is staying in obedience. So again, you know, as I was making comment earlier, if there's a prompting and if you keep overriding it, you're not being obedient. So the sensitivity is going to go away. Yield to the Holy Spirit, and you'll become more like His nature and character. Amen. The other thing that I've got is one other thing. Another key to being led by the Holy Spirit is unselfishness, not being covetous. The chief expression of love is giving. So pursue love, 1 Corinthians 14:1 says. So pursue love. If you're spiritually sensitive, you'll be a giver. And you give of yourself, right? Isn't that a loving nature? Amen. So, you know, those are some of the keys and the things to walking in the Spirit. The question is, have you knowingly lost sight of your vision, of the call that God has given you? You know, I guess I would encourage you to pick up that calling, that vision that God has given you. That there might be something on the inside of you that just draws you in a certain direction, but you become frustrated or God, I can't write that book, Kathy. You know, or God, I don't see God using me in a word, an interpretation. You know, if there's a dream on the inside of you, you know, most likely God's placed that dream on the inside of you. And don't let it go. I guess that's what I'm trying to tell you. Because that's pre-wired in you to a part of your plan and your purpose and your race that you need to run before, run your race in this life. So one thing I would like to do is a lot of what I got tonight, I got out of this book, Following God's Plan for Your Life. And in here, Brother Hagin, it's a Brother Hagin book. And he has a prayer of commitment. And I just want to read this prayer and just pray it with me, I guess, is really, I guess, what I'd ask. Lord, I present myself unto you. May your will be done in my life. May I never forget that I have surrendered all that I am to you. I commit myself to one whom you can use. Consecrate and separated unto your purpose. I'll pay the price by denying my flesh. If you call me in the middle of the night, I'll get on my knees and pray. If I'm never seen of men, if I'm always working behind the scenes, still I will be faithful. I lay aside all personal ambition. I'll be one who walks in the Spirit and in your perfect will. In Jesus' name, your will shall be brought in my heart, in my life, and in my ministry. In Jesus' name. So again, you know, be obedient. You know, Brother Hagin talks about, you know, he early in his ministry, he pastored a church, and he left that church, you know, a couple years prematurely. So he went out in the ministry and worked in the ministry on the road ministry, okay, and things weren't going real good for him. And, you know, God was dealing with him to go back. Okay, so he went back to that church. Okay, I'll go back. Then for 2 years, then God released him. He was out in the ministry, but, you know, God said, I want you to go back to that church. Brother Hagin, you know, oh, God. You know, it's just, I don't want to go back to that church. I've been there, whatever. But, you know, after several days and not sleeping very well, he says, okay, Father, I'll go back. If you want me to go back, I'll go back. And as soon as he said that, God says, I don't want you to go back. I just wanted to see if you were willing to do what I want you to do. But the point is, you know, be willing. Be obedient to do what God would have you to do. And again, you know, if you choose the high road and do and follow God's plan and purpose, you walk in the training that he has for you that you're going through, you might not understand why, how this relates to my walk with the Lord or what you're doing or whatever, but, you know, it may be training, preparing you for what God has for you in the days to come. So just be obedient, listen to your heart, be sensitive, and most importantly, be quick to obey. Amen. So that's all I had. Anybody have any questions? Jim?